concerned, of course, about the men. And I said, you know, the D.C. jail is reputed at this time of year, it's summer, to be a hellhole. We've got to get these guys out of there. They expect that. What are you talking about? And I said, well, the usual thing in a situation like this, which is bail, attorney's fees, and the family support. And I said they expect that support. And he said, what kind of support? And he said, well, everybody will be taken care of. He said, that's a given. Everybody's going to be taken care of. It occurred to me that given what was in my head, and that I had just reported to the president's counsel, who would presumably report to his client, the president of the United States, you know, this disaster and what was in my head, and that although I certainly would never do so, that I could, wanted to, bring down the president, despite my assurances that I would not do that, the stakes were so high that they might want to take me out. And I did not know of any other individual who was capable of doing that in a clean and workmanlike manner, other than myself. I didn't want some amateur, some Sunday morning, sticking a shotgun through the kitchen window, then he takes out not only me, but my wife and children. So I said, look, if you want me to go, if we want to go stand in the street corner where somebody shoots me, just let me know, you know, what street corner, and I'll stand. And he said, well, I don't think we've gotten there yet. And that kind of shook him up a little bit. Maybe had him realize the enormity of what he had wrought, so to speak, and what I had wrought by making the error I did of using the cord. And I said, look, if you're the damage control action officer, you're going to have to keep ahead of this investigation. And I proceeded to instruct him as to how to do that with the FBI, which